put us through day after day. All the lies, all the games, all the lives you wasted, and all the money you bastard made. If my dreams will come true, we take it all back from you. If my dreams will come true, we tear it down and start again. If my dreams will come true, we take it all back from you. If my dreams will come true, we tear it down and start again. We're sick and tired of how you behave, and all the shit that goes down there day after day. Maybe one day you will see we'll take back what is ours and then destroy the hell.
Okay, welcome back to the broadcast. We're into the second hour of American Exposé. And I'm Chris Gerner, and we see in the paper in the election 2004 section, dated today. Oh, boy, people. Military spending dominates forum. Military spending dominates forum. And here we go again in another Vietnam, which is what Iraq is, except the wealth of Iraq is in the hands of the International Monetary Fund, of which our Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor. I'm sure there's a board of governors on the IMF, and it's probably the G8 governors, G8, G7. More than likely, that's the board of governors of the IMF. What is the G8? Well, how about the G7? Well, let's have the G8. The USA, Canada, England, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the European Union, and Russia. That's the USA, Canada, England, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, the European Union, and Russia now. And this is as of June 98. This comes from Joan Vion's book, The United Nations Global Straitjacket. Without her and her research people, we would be way behind the eight ball. That's a sad, sad commentary. It says the UN agenda is driven by the G8 countries as a result of their economic strength and power in the Security Council of the United Nations, people. And there you have it. That's probably the point. Our Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. governor of the IMF. In other words, the wealth of Iraq is in the hands of the IMF today. And the coalition is nothing different than the Allies during the Second World War, which was the beginning of the United Nations. Jake in California, welcome to the broadcast.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing better.
Oh, you sound good. Hey, I was just wanted to comment on Jeff Nyquist. I listened to him very intensely because he's quite refreshing to hear somebody on this network that's that is as educated as he is about Russian and Chinese politics.
Yes.
And history. And, you know, this is called First Amendment Radio.
Good point.
Yeah. And I was just wanted to ask you a question. If I could arrange for a 5-day on-air guest appearance of Mikhail Gorbachev on your program with a translator, would you welcome him, or would you tell this communist SOB to shove off?
Bring him on.
You would probably like to interview him.
Absolutely.
And he would tell you the virtues of the New World Order?
Yes.
Which is one of his terms. It's not just George Bush.
I have many quotes that I'd like to confront him with.
Yeah?
Right on my website.
You think you might learn something from him?
I might learn something from him. You bet.
Yeah, that's what I feel about Jeff Nyquist. I listen to him because I might learn something. Because I tell you what, to hear the same old stuck in the rhetoric over and over and over again gets kind of boring.
Yes, and the point is that most Americans want to be led by the ring in their nose.
Yeah.
And that's a sad commentary for our country today.
Well, it's real easy to be led by the ring in your nose. You don't have to think. There's no challenge there whatsoever.
Right.
Just think of George Washington would have been led around by the ring in his nose.
Yes. Good point.
Wouldn't have gone too far. Okay, so you agreed if I could get a 5-day commitment from Mikhail Gorbachev with a translator that you would be willing to put him on your show.
Yeah, I'd be willing to put him on my show. I'd be willing to put Ted Kennedy on my show.
Even though that Mikhail Gorbachev is a nasty, sneaky communist.
Well, I could ask him a lot of questions, couldn't I?
Yeah, you sure could.
And what kind of answers would I get?
Well, I don't know.
But I have a lot of quotes in here that where he talks about him being a devout communist, and that his change to perestroika is for Western consumption only.
Well, that's what the book says.
And when he's a believer in democracy, he's actually a believer for pure socialism.
Yeah, look it up in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. A true form of socialism.
I'd certainly like to ask him what communitarianism is.
Yeah.
And see if he has an answer.
Yeah, I've got another. I got another question. If we could arrange a 1-day or a guest appearance of Satan himself, would you be willing to put Satan on?
Lucifer himself, absolutely.
Lucifer or Satan, whatever he wants to call himself.
Sure.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
He could reveal all of his secrets, how we're all being twisted and twirled around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, when George Bush was, I think it was within the first year he was in office, he said that he subscribed to the ideals of communitarianism.
Oh, really?
Yes. And I had to look that term up because I knew what it meant. I thought it did. I did, and I looked it up, and it says, you know, a commitment to communistic ideals.
Ah.
Now, I almost fell off my chair when I heard this. I mean, that's what he said. This was on early morning news.
Are we talking about George Young Walker Bush?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, the one that can't talk?
Yeah.
The one that gets all the words mixed up?
Uh-huh.
Hey, did you go see that movie, Fahrenheit 111 or whatever it's called?
Fahrenheit 9/11. I have not.
Yeah, it's...
What did you think of it?
Totally incomplete.
Michael Moore has a lot of prominence in the media, which tells me a lot about him.
I think maybe somebody stuck a knife through his throat and says, okay, you can talk about this, but you better not talk about that.
You know, it's amazing as I happened to review Waco Rules of Engagement today.
Yeah.
And that is such a damning documentary of the federal government. They're caught in so many lies. I'm just amazed that those people continue to operate.
It's amazing the American people put up with that crap. But like you said, we've been so dumbed down with television and dope and everything else.
Yeah.
It's sort of like when I get home from work tonight, I can barely get my feet out of my shoes and lay in my chair for a bit, you know. If there's some stupid, you know, sitcom, Will and Grace or whatever, that's playing in the background.
Well, you know, anyone can go to the Communitarian Network, which they say is a coalition of individuals and organizations who have come together to shore up the moral, social, and political environment. And they say they are a non-sectarian, non-partisan, transnational association. And they can look this up for themselves and research it for themselves. And certainly I thank Nikki Rapana and the Anti-Communitarian League for alerting us of all this, that Joan Vion alerted us of this back in 1999. And the Communitarian Network's in Washington, D.C., Jake.
Yeah, it's nonpartisan, non-political. It's the same as cancer, you know. It's not political or partisan either.
Good point.
Yeah. Hey, good talking with you.
Thank you, my friend.
Bye.
Bye-bye. The Communitarian Network, 2130 H Street, Northwest, Suite 703, Washington, D.C., their phone number, 202-994-7997. That's the number for the Communitarian Network, people. 202-994-7997. It's all here in our faces, people. And we just don't have a clue. Not a clue. We want to cover this as well. from Tim. Carnivore species are predicted to be at increased extinction risk from human population growth, people. This is dated July 13th. And let's see. The source of this, I'm not sure what the source is. It's a very, very long address. Cordolo M. et al., 2004, Human Population Density and Extinction Risk at the World's Carnivores. Let's see, the journal. I'm sorry, bear with me. Journal.pbio. Anyway, let's hear what they have to say. It is legitimate information that can be researched. And they say research published online reveals that many of the world's carnivores are at greater risk of extinction than previously thought. This is propaganda, people. Close to a quarter of the world's mammals are already at high risk of extinction, they say. Well, give them time. They'll all be back. Any chance of reversing this trend depends on understanding what makes some species vulnerable and others resilient. And that depends on being able to predict extinction risk, they say. Now, a new model based on phylogenetic analysis of the mammalian order, Carnivora, all these high-class words, described online the open-access journal PLOS Biology, that's PLOS Biology, could help focus conservation efforts by predicting which species face greatest risk. The model predicts risk based on the density of local human populations combined with various traits of different species of carnivores, such as their population density, gestation length, and habitat range. The research by Marcel Cardolio and other conservation scientists from London, Virginia, and the IUCN, that's the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, I believe, finds that combining data on species biology with that on human population densities, yields better predictions of extinction risk than either set of data can alone. And that's apparently what it says. For example, a species with a long gestation period that lives close to a densely populated area by humans are at greater risk than species with similar gestation periods that live near sparsely populated areas. Well, you know, they keep talking about the planet being overpopulated. Well, that's just hogwash. Take a plane flight and fly around the world and just see how much is habitated by humans compared with animals. Industrial pollution, what is that causing a problem with? Well, that's a tough one. It's a very tough one to get to the bottom of. But man is resilient. The land is resilient. What has been going on all these years with the aerial spraying? Who's behind that? What's been going on in Area 51 with the research going on there, with the people getting sick in Area 51? What sinister side of our government is polluting our planet is what I'm trying to say. What top secret plans are going on in Area 51 and elsewhere underground, as underground bases have been documented by Richard Sauter and others with the patents of the drilling apparatus? What is going on underneath the Denver International Airport that we're not being told about? What is going on with the tunnels under the oceans, which has been documented by Richard Sauter in his book and other documents that he sent me? We're not being told the truth about the secret government in place that is engineering all this. And yet we're supposed to believe that the endangered species has more prominence than mankind, where you're fined if you kill an alligator, where you're fined and put in prison if you kill someone or you kill an animal that's trying to kill your child. This is how far it's become. Tim, welcome to the broadcast.
Hello, my friend.
Yes. Speak up.
The that article that you were reading a minute ago.
Thank you.
It comes from the Y2Y News. Now, let me tell you how to get that. You listeners, listen up. What this is the Y2Y Conservation News. And what Y2Y means is Yellowstone to Yukon Conservation Initiative.
Good for you.
Okay?
Thank you.
www.y2y, that's the number, two, y2y.net/news. You go there, and then you subscribe. Just like you're a good little communist socialist tree hugger. And they will send you this news every day.
Uh-huh.
All right. For your very own.
I appreciate you letting us know about that, because very, very important.
Yes.
And it's a big network of control freaks out there that are engineering all this.
Well, this is just another part of the Rewilding America, Agenda 21, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it's sad, sad commentary.
Yeah, it is, man.
Very sad. And oh, boy.
It's a mess, ain't it?
Yeah, it's a dirty mess. Well, feel encouraged. You can go check out the World Toilet Organization, and they'll teach you how to compost your poop.
Sure.
Turn your biosolids into something profitable and grow veggies.
Well, it has all to do with sustainable development. You know, they want everything sustainable, and so you can go and fill the toilet and flush it, and then they'll recycle the water for you and send it back in your water pipes, and you'll feel real sustainable when they get through doing that to you.
Oh, man. It's so nice to be drinking this well water. I feel so sorry for people back in California where I was. That's the only advantage for being out here.
You know, I get some really strange looks, Chris. I've got my well out here, and of course it's a nice deep well, and of course, the water, you know, it doesn't smell all that great, but when we pull it out of the ground, we charcoal filter it in a great big long charcoal filter. You know, I'm talking the size of an oxygen tank.
Uh-huh.
And then when I get it in the house, I run it through a British Birkfeld before I drink it. And when I go anywhere, I don't care where I'm going, I have to take water from the house, because I absolutely cannot drink any kind of bottled water, any kind of city water. And I had to go to the hospital today and spend some time there, and of course I carried my bag full of bottles of water.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the nurses ask you, well, what is that? Well, that's my water. Well, why are you bringing water? Well, then you explain the whole thing to them, and you tell them how their water is full of fluoride, and how fluoride was used by the Nazis to make people complacent. And they just kind of look at you funny, you know. You get that deer in the headlight look, and you know.
Yeah.
I get a kick out of it.
Well, I really enjoy the water out here, and it's coming from the ground, and it's going through the refrigerator filter, and it's very good.
Yep.
I think I might have better quality water than you do in your location.
Probably.
You know, the aquifers down there are a real blessing, and
well, that's God's clean water. That's what He meant the earth is, to filter the water, and that's, you know, that's what it does.
In California, the water was so terrible.
Really?
And I talked about it over and over again that for my father, I had to get Evian in the bottle.
Oh, I remember.
It was almost $3 a bottle for a quart.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it's just amazing that the bottled water was even terrible tasting.
Yeah. I can't drink it. I don't care who bottles it. I don't care where it comes from. I absolutely cannot drink it. Once you've been drinking ceramic filtered water for a while, it's just, there's no going back.
Makes sense. Makes good sense now that I'm out here drinking the good water I'm drinking.
It's just, it's just a crying shame I didn't get to clean water and clean food years and years ago. I'd probably be in a heck of a lot better shape than I am right now.
Well, we're all victims, Tim.
Yeah, I know.
We're all victims. I mean, the drugging down started in the 60s. We're all victims of that are in our 50s.
Yeah.
We all were victimized by that, as we were victimized by the dumbing down process.
Yeah.
And here we are in 2004, coming out of our dumbing down process.
And now we're reaping what we sowed.
Unfortunately, we're part of this silent war, quiet weapons for silent war situation.
Yeah.
And this mental health situation coming upon us, apparently.
Oh boy, yeah. I saw that several weeks ago. I
did too.
I had sent it to you, and I don't.
I think you did, but I was reluctant to bring it out. But when I received it from Ellen.
Yeah.
I said, let's go for it. It was right before the show, and so I ran with it.
Yeah.
So more research needs to be done on that, but that emergency mental health plan for the states, which was engineered right after September 11th or soon after, mandates vaccinations if they want. It's just another avenue to sicken us.
Yeah. Yeah, right. And... you know, the if any of the children have to be on any kind of food stamps or Medicare or Medicaid or anything like that, you know, they mandate that they
have to have their shot
and inject them.
And you know, Tim, I say suspend the elections. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Suspend those elections. Let's get people to get waking up, huh?
You bet. I'm all for it.
You betcha.
You talk about people being up in arms. You know,
we don't even have a say in our election because it's the electoral that does it anyway.
It's not one iota of difference what we say.
There you have it.
You know, but you know, I'd like to believe otherwise, but in reality, it's probably like what we just said. But
yeah, it is. The popular vote has nothing to say about it.
Yeah, no, it's. And
let's have the UN observers observe our elections.
Yeah, and wonder which there was several ding-dongs that brought that up. And I'm thinking, you know, people are so stupid. They'll allow it to happen. If George Bush tells them that you like this, they're going to fall on their knees and bow. You know, it's just, it is so hard to believe. And here I'm looking at stuff today. Log cabin Republicans praise Republican National Convention choice of included speakers. Okay? And this guy, President Bush, has appointed the one of the guys that are highly that are promoting or has a lot to do with these log cabin Republicans. These log cabin Republicans are a bunch of queers. That's what log cabin Republicans are. And here, George Bush has appointed one of them that has something to do with these people to be in charge of his campaign.
Uh-huh.
So it's like, you know, he's such a good Christian, but he's got a queer running his campaign. He's got a murderer running the Defense Department. I mean, come on.
Well, Barney Frank, you know, he's a real log roller.
Man, it's just, what is wrong with these people? They're not only gutless, Chris, they're stupid.
How about all these commercials on television promoting the penis enlargement products?
Oh, man.
You know, they're even doing it on the Lance Armstrong Tour de France. They're putting these commercials on.
It's incredible. Oh, and these guys come out. I saw one the other day for Viagra. These guys, the whole block of these guys on the whole block of men come out waving and jumping up in the air and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I guess the whole block of them took Viagra at the same time. And of course, you don't see any of the women. They probably kill the women.
Now. Now.
Oh, boy.
Well, it's just amazing that all these products are being developed with different names to help your manhood improve, and it's just beyond me, and certainly even the History Channel chronicled that in 1998, the military ordered $2.5 million worth of Viagra for the military.
Oh boy!
And certainly The pregnancies have increased in the military because they've got the women in combat positions as well. And the rapes have increased. You know, what do you expect?
I saw a report on one of the, I was trying to find the report. I've been kind of out of it because, I spent some time downtown today and it messed me up. But when I came home and I was watching one of the news channels and it was like, they were talking about the suicide rate of soldiers in Iraq.
Interesting.
And it was a real quick blip, and then I couldn't find it when I went to look for it.
Well, it could very well be true that the suicide rate skyrocketed, and they're not going to let us know about that.
Well, no, I'm wondering, but wonder if these guys are being counted with the... You know, they're like almost right at 1,000 now.
Well, maybe they were suicided too. You just don't know, do we?
No, and who's to know? It's, gosh.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Well, that propaganda piece on the Discovery Channel last Thursday night was totally propaganda.
Wasn't that?
Oh boy. I reviewed it on another time.
Yeah.
And it was a lie from beginning to end.
Yeah.
An absolute lie.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. And
the John Q. Public now, Chris, that they have put that item to bed.
Well, they put it to bed before this was even on.
Well, see, somebody must have been giving them a hard time or giving somebody a hard time about it, and that's why they put it on there.
Right.
They had to put it to bed. And so, as far as they're concerned, it has now been officially put to bed.
Yeah. Yeah, and as far as they're concerned, it's been officially put to bed, right?
Right.
Which we can't let that happen.
Well, that's what we're here for, ain't it?
I would hope so. And let's let those elections be suspended.
Oh, boy. Let her rip.
Let's let them be suspended.
Let her rip.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
Yep.
Okay, my friend, I sure appreciate your info.
Well, okay. I just thought I would let people know how to get a hold of that Y2Y news.
Y2Y.net/news.
Yeah, it's like Yellowstone to Yukon, and it's just another part of the gigantic land grab. It's all part of the deal.
Well stated.
Okay, my friend.
Thank you so much, Tim.
God bless, my friend.
God bless you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good night. Good calls, all engineered by that angry reaction I had to that angry listener telling the network to drop NyQuest. Well, I think we made our point, and I think he should feel ashamed of himself for making such a ridiculous statement, and I'm ready to confront him anytime he wants. Well, regarding this KAL007 propaganda piece from Thursday night, and I hope you viewed it, coming from this website. I'm not even sure who it is now. Rescue007.org, that's what it is. Rescue007.org. And let's just deal with the people, because according to this website, the divers found no bodies and no luggage. The divers of the Soviet end of it, because we were looking for it all over the place, and we never found any plane. But they did. They have the black boxes, according to Rescue 007, that website. But they talk about where are they now, and we're going to deal with that when we come back. And then we're going to deal with Henry Land's information about the land takeaways. And tomorrow night we're going to have to deal with the quiet war against humanity, the lulling before the culling. It's very, very important as well. But we're just not going to have enough time tonight. So be prepared for this KAL007, Where Are They Now?, including Congressman Larry McDonald, which most people don't know about because the propaganda piece didn't even mention Congressman Larry McDonald being on KAL007 in 1983. And most people have forgotten it because the propaganda machine won't let it out. We'll be back.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Can a fungus blow its top? Find out next on today's Creation Moment. And now, here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
While we speak of simple forms of life, the more we learn about living things, the more clearly we see that there are no simple forms of life. Evolution has long theorized that life began with simple forms which gradually over millions of years became more complex. Evolutionary scientists say that the simple forms of life still around today prove their claim. The problem here is that there aren't any simple forms of life. Take the lowly fungus, for example. The cap-throwing fungus has a number of dandy designs which enable it to spread its reproductive spores. First of all, the cap-throwing fungus has a built-in clock. The fungus bends through the day in response to the sun's movement. It also throws its masses of spores out in order to spread them over the widest possible area. The built-in clock of the cap-throwing fungus waits to blow its top until the fungus is turned at just the best angle to produce the widest possible spread of its spores. The light-sensing system in the fungus releases the spores at just about 9 in the morning, aiming the spores at an area that is most likely to be open, so that the spores can be spread even further by animals. But whether the spores land where the animals pass, or on a leaf, they are coated with a glue to aid in further dispersion. The lowly fungus reminds us that there just aren't any simple forms of life. Even this fungus has been given sophisticated ways to carry out its command to reproduce after its kind.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
You must have wondered when I didn't ask your name. Time just wasn't right. I felt you needed your own space. Time just wasn't right. The pain you felt was evident. Cry when you're all alone. Yeah, I've been there before you. You won't be coming home. Love you, Jordan, let it be. Let it happen, let it breathe. Let me lead you, Jordan.
Pokerface.com is the website for Pokerface. Lonnie is responsible for that direction, and certainly happy that he helped me with that direction, Lonnie Colbert. So, 007, what is the website again, people? Rescue007.org, and certainly that's not going to happen anytime soon, I'm sorry to say. The propaganda continues, but we've been inundated our entire lives with propaganda, people, including the Soviets' Vietnam, which is the Afghanistan war. It wasn't their Vietnam. They lost 15,000 compared to our 58,000, and that's according to Jeff Nyquist and his information. Rescue007.org, people, is the source for this information. And they state, our knowledge of the whereabouts of members of passengers and crew of Korean Airlines Flight 007 shot down on August 31st, 1983 is based on information received by the Research Center for Prisons, Psych Prisons, and Forced Labor Concentration Camps of the USSR. This research center was established by the late Abraham Shifrin, an Israeli who had himself spent time in the Soviet prison system. Mr. Shifrin maintained an extensive network of contacts within the Soviet Union and its successor states. Much of the information that we have was obtained at great personal risk by his contacts. The center's investigations in 1989 and to 1991 determined that the passengers and crew of KAL 007 were taken upon rescue to the KGB Coast Guard base on Sakhalin Island. Within a few days, by September 4, 1983, everyone was taken to the KGB base at, and I should have warned you, some of this pronunciation is going to be butchered, Sovestkakja Gavin, on the Siberian mainland opposite Sakhalin, roughly 600 miles north of Vladivostok. Here the men, women, and children were divided into separate groups. The men and women were taken by train to Tunda on the Baikal-Amur Railway, about 800 miles inland, where at least some were put to forced labor. The male adults were, at some point, distributed to a number of different camps throughout Siberia, some of which were camps that also held American POWs and other foreign prisoners. Congressman Lawrence P. McDonald, Democrat, 7th District of Georgia, was separated from the rest of the passengers and taken by special air transport to Moscow on or about September 8, 1983. A special KGB guard unit brought from Khabarovsk to accompany him. The KGB had a fleet of special aircraft, the 910XX series, that was used exclusively for transporting high-profile prisoners, VIPs, and others requiring the strictest security. These were used for even very short trips rather than using overland transportation. The child passengers were kept in Sovestkakja Gavin, in a specially established, isolated, temporary orphanage until the end of October. They were then gradually transferred to various orphanages in Vladivostok, Omsk, Bernil, and Kazakhstan, based on their racial identity. The intent was to assimilate them into the predominant racial populations of these areas. Regarding Congressman McDonald, upon arrival in Moscow, McDonald was taken to the Lubyanka KGB prison, where he was given the distinction prisoner number 3. While at the Lubyanka, he was kept in isolation, taken from his cell only for questioning. He was interrogated several times by the head of the First Chief Directorate of the KGB, Vladimir Kurishkov. This individual, Kurishkov, was a member of the core group who sought to seize power from Mikhail Gorbachev in August 1991. He was arrested when the coup failed, but was later released. He attended the inauguration of President Vladimir Putin at Mr. Putin's personal invitation in 2000. Mr. Kurishkov is now an internationally known lecturer. Following a number of questionings, Mr. McDonald was moved to the Lefortovo KGB prison, also in Moscow, for continued interrogation over a period of several months. He was then moved to a dacha, which is a summer house, in Sukhavana near Moscow, where the interrogations continued. Mr. Shiffrin's sources indicated that they had strong reason to believe that McDonald was interrogated under drugs that may have eventually resulted in identity loss. He was brought eventually to a prison in Karaganda, Kazakhstan, the region where the Soviets had important nuclear missile test ranges and similar installations. He may have brought to this area to be interrogated by experts there as part of the effort to find out what he could say about the U.S. nuclear program and what he knew about the Soviet program. Early in 1987, former NSA agent Jerry Mooney testified before Congress about the Moscow-bound program and the importance of Karaganda as a center of the Soviet nuclear program and an area where certain highly skilled American POWs with technical knowledge were brought. Following his testimony, the world press focused on this area. In an apparent attempt to keep McDonald's presence there secret, he was moved in mid-1987 by special transport to a small prison near the town of Tamir Tau, also in Kazakhstan. Here he was given special treatment but was not allowed to communicate with anyone. In the summer of 1990, he was taken to the transportation prison in Karaganda. Here as an unknown prisoner whose file was sealed by the KGB, he remained. As of 1995, all efforts to obtain additional information from the Karaganda prison have failed. Congressman's present location is unknown. He may be there, or he may have been moved since then. Regarding the child prisoners, efforts to track down the children of KEL-007 have been very difficult. Many of the youngest ones may have been adopted into local families. Some information that is not very clear was obtained, apparently, about the Greenfell children, Stacy and Noel, ages 3 and 5, of Rochester, New York. It appears that they were placed in an orphanage in Vladivostok until 1990. The older child, Noel, now age 12, was sent to medical school associated with the city hospital in Chabarovsk for training. She was there for about a year, then was taken elsewhere and her file removed from the school and hospital. At this point, her trail was lost. Sources provided information on one young Oriental woman who was set to work felling timber in the area of Taida, Siberia, prior to 1985. She lost her left arm below the elbow in a work accident. Subsequently, she was sent across the vast Siberian landmass to the village of Notchevaka on the Tazavaskaya Guba Inlet above the Arctic Circle, where she remained until sometime in the late summer of 1991-92. The villagers were thought that she was of indigenous Nonet origin because of her Oriental features. She did not mix with the villagers and was generally unknown by them. They were aware that she had been removed by men in authority. Regarding the male adult passengers, sources indicate that most of the male passengers and crew were taken to a series of 3 ultra-secret prison camps in the dense Taiga region along the Amur River near the village of Zolpakrovsk, not far from the Chinese border. These are the same camps where American POWs were known to have been located. Unfortunately, all efforts to get to the camps and identify passengers visually failed because of the intense security in the area. Additional camps were in the area of Saita, headquarters of the Far East Theater of Operations of the Soviet military, at Nurskant and Nurishki Siad, and other locations. At the time, There were also three other ultra-secret camps for foreign prisoners on Rogers Bay, Wrangel Island in the Arctic Ocean. Mr. Shiffrin had reason to believe that some of the passengers, and especially the crew, may have been taken to Wrangel because of their aeronautical training. These camps have since been abandoned, and all inmates moved elsewhere. This is the extent of their current knowledge concerning the locations where the passengers and crew of KL-007 were taken after being rescued from the downed plane. And sad, sad commentary. Rescue007.org is the website, people. Now, sad commentaries about everything that's going on today. Let's try and get through this because it's very, very important. According to Henry Lamb, entitled How Treaties Trump the Constitution, and we've heard other viewpoints. Let's hear his viewpoint. I think it's pretty darn valid. And this is dated July 17th of 2004. Nothing in the Constitution authorizes the federal government to regulate private property. Nothing in the U.S. Constitution authorizes the federal government to manage wildlife or prescribe land use regulations within the various states. By what authority, then, has the federal government constructed the expansive bureaucracy that now forces wolves, panthers, and bears on states and communities that don't want them, or levied fines and jailed people who dare dig a ditch or dump a load of sand on their own property properly? Good question. The federal power arises from the Treaty Clause, Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution. We've covered that in the past. Alabama attorney Larry Becraft, and certainly I don't like the way Larry Becraft treated Lonnie Cobra's listeners. And he railroaded him out of $13,000 to defend him with his micro broadcast station. He just ripped him off. And it's just like the precious metal companies people, where you send money for precious metals and you get nothing in return. And by the way, I had my first show today with Melody Cedarstrom of Discount Gold and Silver. That's on Tuesday and Thursday on WGT. Let's see, what is it? Well, we'll get that information up there on the website. It's Tuesday at 3 p.m. and Thursday at 3 p.m. Central Time. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there because I forgot. But this is very, very important. Larry Becraft really ramrodded Lonnie Cobras and ripped him off. But according to this information by Henry Lamb, Alabama attorney Larry Becraft provides an excellent analysis of just how and when this treaty power was discovered. This power has been exploited dramatically in recent years and is the basis for imposing a global environmental and social agenda on the United States. During the Ramsar Treaty, or before the Ramsar Treaty, no American was jailed for dumping sand on his own private property. O.C. Mills and his son spent 21 months in a federal prison and a decade in litigation for dumping 19 loads of building sand on his own property after securing a county building permit and approval from the State Department of Environmental Protection. Before the Cities Treaty, that's CITES, no one would fault a person for shooting a charging bear. John Schuler was fined $7,000 and spent 9 years in litigation because he shot a grizzly charging toward him only 30 feet away from his front porch. Environmental extremists inside and outside the government are using international treaties to expand the power of government far beyond the power granted originally by the Constitution. We all know this, those of us that are educated and have the big picture in place. The process has been refined to an art. Environmental organizations pour millions of dollars into campaigns to elected officials When elected, the officials repay the favor by appointing executives of the environmental organizations to powerful governmental positions. The Clinton-Gore administration appointed at least 27 of these extremists to powerful positions, including Bruce Babbitt from the League of Conservation Voters to head the Department of Interior, and George Frampton from the Wilderness Society to head the Fish and Wildlife Service. Oh, boy. This is why this is so important to hear. More than 50 major U.S. environmental organizations and 6 federal agencies, including the U.S. State Department, are members of the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, that's the IUCN, an international non-government organization that has drafted virtually all of the international environmental treaties for half a century. Delegations that represent the U.S. in treaty negotiations are headed by the U.S. State Department. When a treaty is adopted by the U.N. body, the federal agencies and the environmental organizations that help draft the treaty then lobby Congress and their constituents to demand ratification. The League of Conservation Voters supported the Clinton-Gore ticket in 1992. They got their reward. Now the LCW is supporting the Kerry Edwards ticket. They expect and will undoubtedly get the reward if the two Johns are elected. When George Bush was elected in 2000, the international community was bitterly disappointed and had cause to be. Bush immediately withdrew from the Kyoto Protocol, which Al Gore personally navigated through the contentious 1997 UN conference in Kyoto, Japan. Bush immediately withdrew the U.S. signature from the International Criminal Court, which the Clinton administration signed just hours before the deadline. Bush also pulled the plug on a decade-long strategy to authorize UN global taxation when he forced to rewrite the document produced by the UN's high-level panel on financial development in Monterrey, Mexico. The power of UN treaties over domestic policy is not limited to environmental regulations. Increasingly, the UN is developing treaties to govern the internet, the oceans, space, domestic taxation, trade, and virtually every other area of human activity. And people, this comes under the guise of Agenda 21. And certainly the internet we've covered in the past, the governance of the internet. We've got that on our website. The Bush administration was right in withdrawing from UN activity, but it is a meager first step in a process of withdrawal that must be accelerated. And sadly, many international environmental extremists remain embedded in the Bush administration and in Congress. The recent revival of the UN's Law of the Sea Treaty, pushed by John Turner in the State Department and Senator Richard Lugar, is evidence of a more thorough cleansing of government that is needed. The elections in November are a referendum on whether to continue to disrupt the UN process of dominating domestic domestic public policy, or whether we will return to the Clinton-Gore days of advancing the international environmental agenda through UN treaties. John Kerry has made clear his intention to restore international favor by subjecting the United States to the will of the international community. So you better vote for Bush if you have an opportunity to vote. I stopped voting after the Ronald Reagan election because I thought Ronald Reagan was the, you know, that was going to be the one. We've been deceived so many times, and that's the point. We've been deceived so many times under so many circumstances. Lie upon lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. One after another. It's the Murrah building. I mean, immediately after it happened, the Alfred P. Murrah explosion, there were more bombs in the building. A truck bomb could not have done the damage. Former Air Force Colonel or General Ben Parton stated that the columns had to have been wrapped to be sure, like they were. The building was demolished within 30 days. No obtaining of evidence was allowed. Just like the Waco disaster in 1983, they bulldozed the building, cover up the evidence. They ran up their flag, the ATF flag, and the Texas flag, the Texas state flag, as a victory sign. The sinister directions our military and our domestic military has taken, and now they have Homeland Security, and now they're dealing with terrorism today. I say suspend the elections. Let's not have any more elections. Let's have King George Bush in place. Why not? What difference does it make, people? What difference does it make? We've gone through administrations from the past. The Reagan administration turned us into a debtor nation. The KL-007 disaster was a perfect example of the Reagan administration. Vice President George Herbert Walker Bush was there in place. All this engineering from the past to the present. And here we are, 12 years into Agenda 21. And that's why this information by Henry Lamb was very important to hear. And I'm sorry that I hope that people are attending this Freedom 21 conference, and I'll get these individuals that are attending this starting tomorrow on next opportunity I get to see where they're coming from, see what it was all about. I think the engineering process has to get us out of the UN system, but how can you do that when it's so far along? The Bretton Woods Agreement from 1944 to bring about the IMF, and then the UN officially in place after the two atomic bomb droppings on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. How could we not go into the UN after that? And now we're hunting for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq, but we have the oil wealth of Iraq. A big boondoggle, people. Sad, sad commentary that we have today. We need support. I need support. Support us however you can. Go to my website, support me. Go to First Amendment Radio, support them. But I'm really in a dire situation. I need support. I'm sorry to say. So go to my website. You'll have the address there. I'm not going to harp on it here because I'm not paying for my airtime here. So you have to support this network as well, people. We'll do the best we can, as long as we can. And you, in turn, do your research. Have the courage to call these talk show hosts you want to have gripes with, and don't complain to the network, people. It's just not kosher. Till tomorrow night. God bless you all.
You must have wondered when I didn't call your phone.